Welcome once again to Health Connections, a show about people, health, and policy. I'm Brandon Hollingsworth, joined once again by University of Tennessee College of Nursing Associate Professor Dr. Carol Myers. Dr. Myers, it looks like you have something on your mind this week.
I do, Brandon. I'm feeling a little mischievous. Usually you're asking me questions, and I want to ask you a question to start off our show. Which country tracks last among all developed countries in the rates of maternal deaths?
Maternal deaths. And developed countries. So we're probably talking about Western Hemisphere or Europe. I don't know off the top of my head, and I'm not going to, I don't know if I want to make myself look stupid here. Is it the United States?
It is. Ooh. Sadly, it's the United States. Let's scope out the problem first, and then we'll talk specifically about the United States. Every day in the world, more than 800 women die as a complication of pregnancy or childbirth. This is about 300,000 women a year that lose their life in the process of giving birth. The majority around the world is because they do not have access to care. But that really is the tip of the metaphorical iceberg, in that between 6 and 9 million women experience a serious complication, which may have lifelong implications. They may have a stroke during the delivery and then be debilitated or disabled for the rest of their life. So it's really a growing problem. And what's so troubling is, whereas other countries are reducing their rates, we're actually seeing rising rates in the United States.
The phrase maternal mortality sounds really clinical to me. So what do we mean when we're talking about that statistic? What are its implications?
Good question. It's death from any cause related to or aggravated by pregnancy or its management. It excludes, though, accidents and things that are considered to be incidental. So anything during the course of the pregnancy or the delivery of the child. And also, it takes the 42-day period following the pregnancy and includes this. So it's irrespective of the duration of the pregnancy.
Okay.
So if there's a shortened pregnancy, a premature birth, or a loss of a fetus, that's considered if the mother dies in the maternal mortality rates. Like other things we've talked about, Brandon, it's expressed as a rate per 100,000 women.
And the United States, I understand, is the only industrialized country whose maternal mortality rate is rising. It's going up.
Yes, very troubling. We actually, and not only is our rate going up, our rate is actually higher than some countries in South Asia, which we would think we would be better, and sub-Saharan Africa. So when we look at the time period of 2000 to 2015, the U.S. rate increased 47%. Again, the backdrop is rates are declining in other countries. Our rate went from 17.1 to 25.1 per 100,000 women. There is a little bit of drop in the 2015 rate, but not much. But to help you understand how disparate this is, when the U.S.'s rate is 25.1, the comparable rate in Canada, our northern neighbor, was 6.9. Think about the scope of that difference. France, 7.6, Japan, 6.3, and then the U.K., 3.9. So not only is our rate going up, our rate is
substantially higher.
Exactly. Huh. Very troubling statistics.
We've talked in previous editions of Health Connections about why, for instance, healthcare is expensive in general in the United States. And at that time, you said one of the reasons healthcare costs so much, medical care costs so much in this country, is we're spending a lot of money on it, but that doesn't necessarily translate into better outcomes. That is also affecting maternal mortality.
Exactly. I think there's two ways to look at the question and statement you just made. We spend more than any other country per capita, and by almost 50% in the countries we compare ourselves to, and yet we don't have good birth outcomes. And I would think that people being birthed and mothers surviving the birth would be just the basics. It's so important, and yet we fail in there. If we look within the United States, Tennessee ranks 38 out of the 50 states, according to one report. Another report has us slightly better. But the issue is we're disparate from other countries. So what is this attributable to? Well, like so many things we've talked about, Brandon, it's not one thing.
Right, and not a single factor.
Not a single factor. And the factors, to a small degree, have to do with healthcare, but to a large degree, it has to do with what we call the social determinants of health. So let's look at the reasons. One is poor access to health care. That's not just a problem in Africa. It's a problem in Tennessee. We have 47 counties in Tennessee that have no hospital-based obstetrical services. And with our rate of rural hospital closures, this number could get worse. There's a shortage, a pretty profound shortage of providers of women's health care. And to show the impact, we have very low maternal health care outcomes when we compare ourselves across the country, around the world. One of the things that's a little bit unique here is one of the causes of maternal mortality is actually overuse of medical interventions.
Hmm.
We've taken a natural process and we've made it to be a big deal medical process. And in doing that, we actually have introduced danger. That's something to think about. One of the things we can look at is our increasing rate of C-sections, which add complications. Another thing that's very important problem is the health of the mothers. Women are entering pregnancy now with more chronic healthcare conditions than in times past. Previously, if a woman died in childbirth, it was from hemorrhage. You know, we've heard about that a lot. Or hypertension, which there's some association sometimes during pregnancy. But now we're finding that the cause of maternal mortality in the United States is growingly attributable to problems related to chronic medical conditions that the women have at the onset of their pregnancy. And we're also seeing a rising number of deaths as we're seeing a declining health of the women. So it's pretty complicated when you look at it. The other thing that's similar to things we've talked about before, Brandon, are the disparities. Disparities related to income, disparities related to skin color, disparities related to the health care that you receive.
Yeah, you've written that black women are at the highest risk, again, substantially more than people of other ethnicities, even when those women have access to, you know, better education, higher incomes. Those are other factors that we typically associate with better health outcomes. You're saying that that doesn't seem to be moving the needle very much for black women. They're still at higher risk for maternal mortality.
Yeah, there's really two prongs to what you're talking about. First, just let's look at how different black women are than white women as far as birth outcomes. The rate for non-Hispanic white women of maternal mortality in the U.S. is 12. For black women, it's 38.9, more than a threefold difference. And then we see actually the rate is less for Hispanic women, slightly less than white women. In New York City, very different environment than we have, a black woman is 12 times more likely to die from pregnancy complications than a white woman. But the other aspect of what you asked about, Brandon, is even when we accommodate for differences related to race, when we equilibrate with education and income level, which are major, you know, factors in health outcomes,
mm-hmm.
black women still fare worse than white women of equal education, equal income. And this disparity has been around for a very long time. Now, what are some of the factors when we don't look just at the high income, highly educated black women? What are some of the things that we're seeing? Well, black women and other women of color are more likely to be treated at what's considered to be a lower quality hospital. One study showed about a 50% disparity related to poor quality hospitals. Also, there are some cultural and other beliefs that are tied up in the differences in maternal mortality rates. Blacks, rightly so, based on some historical happenings, have some distrust of the healthcare system. And oftentimes, there's a propensity to reject or not be offered, and that's really scary, treatments. So we see fear among black women in some cases. And then we also see conscious and unconscious bias on the part of providers.
There are other factors, of course, to be considered other than race or ethnicity. age, insurance, access to insurance, poverty rates. Tell me about some of those factors.
Yeah, these are all major factors. What we're finding is women are having babies at later ages than they did previously, and the risk of maternal mortality increases with age. We see about 27% increase in deaths in women over age 35. Insurance. Women without insurance are 3 to 4 times more likely to die due to pregnancy-related complications. And then, like, it's so pervasive in so many other of the things we've talked about, poverty. Maternal mortality is 2 times higher in counties in the United States with high poverty rates when compared to counties with low poverty rates. So poverty generally is in the mix in a very important way.
Well, of course, dealing with maternal mortality after the fact is one thing. Gathering the statistics, coming up with these numbers, you want to focus on prevention. How do we keep something like this from happening? How do we lower those rates?
Again, Brandon, excellent question. The real tragedy about maternal mortality is that a majority of the deaths are preventable or possibly preventable. Approximately 50% by some experts are preventable. And prevention is estimated to perhaps be even more impactful with Black women. So I just wonder, how can we as a country tolerate the loss of women in the prime of their life, women with families and often other small children? It's just something to me that seems should be a priority for our country. It certainly has been a priority in other countries. One of the things that's happening in regards to prevention, a start, is about half of the states have created maternal review boards to investigate causes of death and then to develop improvement plans. I'm proud to say that Tennessee, we passed the Maternal Review and Prevention Act in 2016. This group is just cranking up, but we have to measure and understand the problem before we can adequately address the problem. So there is some movement going on, and again, we are one of the approximately 50% of states that have moved in this direction.
Well, before we close out, I want to go back to something we talked about a little earlier on in our discussion near the top. We were talking about how maternal mortality rates in the United States aren't just higher than other countries, they're actually rising. And one crucial question is, does that reflect a real increase in deaths among expectant mothers or recent mothers, or are we getting better at categorizing it, that is, calling it what it is as opposed to attributing it to something else? So in other words, is this a semantic difference or is this a real numerical phenomenon?
I can't give you a single answer, but Brandon, this is an important point. Two recent studies have suggested that the rising rates are in part attributable to how we're counting them. And we've had some coding changes, and certainly as this has become something that's talked about more and more, we have increased surveillance. But the big question is, how important are the changes in coding and changes in surveillance? And the data is a little mixed here. Let me share that with you. We have looked at how much of the overall increase in maternal rates is due to older women having babies. And that is a very significant part of the increase. At one point, women over age 40, their rate was 141.9, which is an astounding rate. But now it's 269.9. So part of this is a change in the demographics. When we look at the younger women, we've not seen that kind of change in the rate. Now, the other thing is, when we look at what now is being classified as the causes, we're seeing a much higher rate of incidental, which leads researchers to say, so maybe some of it is an artifact of counting, overcompensating with these new surveillance systems. But what I could say to you, regardless of the absolute numbers, is the U.S. is an extreme outlier, and our rate is so disparate. So maybe there's more smoke than there needs to be, but there's definitely a fire there. And we need to be paying attention to this as a state and as a country.
As is so often the case with our discussions about people's health and all these patterns and numbers, it's not a single factor. There's not a single prescription for a solution, and obviously a lot of discussion to be had about the best ways to approach this issue.
Yes, that's absolutely true, and I'm glad you picked up on that nuance.
I hope I've learned something through our conversations. Dr. Carol Myers of the University of Tennessee College of Nursing, as usual, our brains behind Health Connections here, helping me and all of you understand what's going on in the wider world of healthcare. Dr. Myers, as always, a pleasure. Thank you.
Pleasure's all mine, Brandon. Thank you so much.